You do know if we hadn't have passed out the hymnals, the screen would not have worked. But since we passed them out, they figured it out. So welcome to our Good Friday service as we consider the passion of our Lord through the service of tenebrae, a service of diminishing lights. In our worship on this Good Friday evening, we do gather in thanksgiving, acknowledging the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, thankful for his love and thankful for his obedience to his Father's will. As we worship in the atmosphere of shadows and solitude and remembrance, hear these words of the psalmist, words that express the reason behind our Lord's crucifixion, the sacrificial shedding of blood that we might have forgiveness of our sins. So from Isaiah 52, verse 13, through chapter 53, verse 12. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Lord God, it is with a thankful heart that we bow before you this night. Lord, we thank you for your will, and we thank you for the obedience of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Lord, in this night of remembrance, as darkness descends, Lord, may the imagery of that Friday rest upon our minds and upon our hearts, that through the sacrifice, through the crucifixion of Jesus, we might continue to know of his grace for us. Lord, be with us this night that we might glorify you for your great love. In Christ we pray. Amen. I invite those who are able to please stand for our call to worship. Tonight we gather to remember the journey and the suffering of the cross. We journey through God's Word, aware of our thoughts and emotions.
We respond with thanksgiving, humbleness, brokenness, and grace.
Please remain standing and we will sing hymn number 183, Beneath the Cross of Jesus.
Hear this word of the Lord from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 16 through 25. This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. If you've ever seen the Covenant players perform any of their worship dramas, you might recall that as each drama ends, one of the performers calls out the word curtain to signal that the drama is over. They do that because they don't have any physical curtains to draw to a close to signal that that drama has finished. And so they say curtain at the end of the dramatic sketch. Because we've hosted the Covenant players here a number of times over the years, I've come to equate the word curtain with ended, with over, with it's finished. As the earthly life of Jesus ended, crucified on the cross, Matthew 27, 50 and 51 tells us that the curtain of the temple was torn in two. It reads, "And when Jesus has cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Curtain meant that the dramatic life of Jesus had ended. As we see some slides of what the temple might have looked like, here's kind of a overall view that you probably can't see, but I put that there to make it look a little bit more dramatic. Then the next slide kind of is a very rough sketch that we just, there we go. And here is the outer court, and we come into the inner court, and in here, well, here is one curtain. Here is the holy place, and here is the Holy of Holies. And here's another curtain. It was this inner curtain that was torn in two from top to bottom when Jesus had breathed his last. So you have the inner aspect of the temple, you have the outer curtain, the holy place, the inner curtain, and the Holy of Holies. So you can kind of have a mental shot of this. The two curtains of the temple. The Holy of Holies, or the most holy place, it was sacred. There was only one person that was allowed to go behind that curtain into the Holy of Holies, and that was the high priest. And they could only enter into the most holy place one time a year on the Day of Atonement. And it was understood that when the high priest entered through that curtain into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, the high priest was entering in to the very presence of God. The curtain at the entrance to the most holy place symbolized the barrier that was between God and humankind. The holiness of God is described in Habakkuk 1:13 as God's eyes are too pure to look on evil. God's eyes, God's holiness is too pure to look on evil. God's holiness and human sinfulness created a gap between the two, represented by that curtain in the temple. The tearing of the inner curtain symbolizes our open and free access to God. The death of Jesus on the cross, and then the tearing of the temple curtain put an end to the Old Testament sacrificial system and the Levitical priesthood. The tearing of that curtain indicated the old system had ended. Jesus ushered in the new covenant, which is celebrated on Maundy Thursday in the offering of the bread and the cup. The new covenant in my blood. There was no more curtain. There was no more barrier between God and humankind. Through the crucifixion of Jesus and our faith and our belief in Christ as our Lord and Savior, We are blessed with personal access into the presence of God. It wasn't just one day a year for the high priest. It was opened up to all who would believe. We can pray directly to God, offering up our prayers at any moment in time. It is in reference to the curtain of the temple being torn in two upon the death of Jesus that Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 speaks of. Here again, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living covenant open for us through the curtain. That is his body. Again, curtain means the earlier way, the Old Testament way, had ended. The Old Testament covenant was finished, and the new covenant was established through Jesus Christ our Lord. The very presence of God is now open to all who come to Jesus Christ in faith. For the way to God was opened by the shed blood of his Son, Jesus, when he offered himself up on the cross. In Hebrews 10, verses 16 through 18, the author of Hebrews draws upon verses from Jeremiah 31, seeming to focus in on the reader's thoughts on the new covenant and the blessed reality of forgiveness, with no further need of any blood sacrifice for sin. Jesus offered himself once for all. And so it's with confidence through Jesus Christ, who is the great high priest over the house of God, we have a new and a living way to God, to know him, to love him, to worship him, to serve him. The writer of Hebrews then provides several key points of direction for believers since that curtain was torn in two, directing believers to lead active lives of faith. So let's take a closer look at verses 22 through 25. Verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Hearts of truth and integrity. Hearts that are dependable, always seeking righteousness and not depravity. Hearts that are sincere. Hearts that are always filled with integrity. Not trying to bend the rules or get around something, but doing what God expects us to do. Drawing near to God. It means to have a zeal for God. It's an awareness that God is always present. And we have a desire and a zeal to be with the Lord, to live a life of faith, to live a life of dedication. And this drawing near is not a physical sense of closeness. It's a spiritual closeness. It's always knowing the right decision to make. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. It's a clear and certain reference to baptism, an outward sign of an inward cleansing. The sprinkling speaks to the effect of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on our spiritual being, to have new life in Christ. That's the depth and the meaning of the sacrament of Holy Communion. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. It means to hold fast, to never let go. No turning to the left, no turning to the right, but following the narrow road that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7:13. And it's the hope. It's the promises of God, having full confidence in God's commandments and in God's word. Hope. The promises of God. God is with us. God is with us in all times and in all situations. For he who promised is faithful. for he who promised is faithful. We are thoroughly able to always rely upon God. Hebrews 13:5, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. In verse 24, and let us consider. That means we need to spend time thinking and pondering upon God's word, upon our relationship through Jesus Christ. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. It means mutual activity. It means doing things together as Christians. And to spur one another on means to provoke, to encourage, to point towards doing something to honor the Lord. And then verse 25. And let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching, that day when Christ will return. Let us not give up meeting together. That is, as I shared last year at this time, that is bigger than a pandemic. Just because people aren't able to come to church right now doesn't mean they want to give up meeting together forever. That time will come once again when people are drawn together, because that's the call of God. That's the desire of Scripture. And we will continue to encourage one another to draw together as we prepare for that day that is always approaching. This is the new covenant that Jesus Christ opened up for his people as that curtain was torn in two. The old has gone, the new has come. And we'll touch base upon that newness on the third day on Easter morn. Amen.